Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Because the judgment you give is the judgment you will get. And the amount you measure out is the amount you will be given. Why do you observe the splinter in your brother's eye, and never notice the plank in your own? How dare you say to your brother, 'Let me take the splinter out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own? Hypocrite, take the plank out of your own eye first. Then you will see clearly enough to take the splinter out of your brother's eye." The Gospel of the Lord. Thomas Aquinas has a very elaborate system of describing emotions, or he calls them passions. He calls them passions because for Thomas, an emotion is always a reaction to something, some object, even if the object's an imaginary object. And he develops this system from a distinction is made by Plato in the Republic, developed by Aristotle into a more systematic form, and then with Thomas Aquinas it reaches this more elaborate description where he says everything is basically based on desire. The word he uses for desire is amor, love. Now, anger is a special emotion in Thomas. He thinks, in fact, the two types of emotions are emotions which are just passions, desires, and their opposites, or we call the angry emotions the emotions which have to do with desiring something which has a certain amount of evil attached to it. But evil means something bad. Lots of things we want to do are good in themselves, but they have bad things in them. So people engage in athletics, sports of any kind, where they often endure a certain amount of pain, but they want to win, and they want to reach a certain human perfection physically. Now, anger itself is a passion, but Thomas says there's something unusual about anger. The unusual thing is it doesn't have an opposite. Other emotions have opposites. Love, desire, has its opposite hate. Joy has its opposite sadness. For Thomas, these opposites are always an absence of something. We hate something bad because we love something good. So we love health and hate illness. But illness is an absence of health. Anger, he says, is no opposite. The reason he says that is because anger is about reacting against a certain evil and trying to change it. And as such, it's a desire to change something from bad to good. We get angry at things we think are wrong, things we want to change. So fundamentally, it's the emotion that wants to change things. But it's no opposite, because either we succeed in changing something, in which case we've no longer got anything to be angry about, or we accept it, and we accept it either as something bad that we can't change, in which case we're sad about that, or we perhaps change our mind and say maybe it wasn't a bad thing at all. Either way, the only real opposite of anger is not being angry. You just stop being angry. I think that's right. I also think it means that anger itself, like all emotions, has a good purpose. There's such a thing as peaceful, rational anger. As Thomas says, Christ himself was angry, and he judges. He is, in fact, the judge. Judging in the Holy Spirit and God's power is something that, in fact, is possible at the end of time. This Gospel reading, we're told not to judge, but then Christ says to his apostles, they will sit on the thrones of the 12 tribes of Israel, and they will judge. That's in God's power and Spirit. Here on earth, judgment is difficult, and anger is dangerous because most of the time we're not right. It's also dangerous when we're trying to change people, because though it's an emotion that wants to change things, well, changing people's hard. As I say time and time again in confession, why so eager to change other people when we can't change ourselves? Easier to change ourselves than to change other people. So change yourself, and then, like the Gospel says, you may change other people. That's it. We find we can't. And since here he's talking particularly about the blindness of anger, that we think we know what's wrong, there we can have to say to ourselves, well, how do I know that I see clearly? When can I ever say that I've taken the splinter out of my eye? When can I ever say I am not prejudiced? As we all know, there's nothing worse to say if you want to be seen as unprejudiced, and to start off by saying, I'm no racist, you might as well say, I'm racist, because frankly, whatever you say after that is going to come across as racist. And all sorts of other things. I know I don't like this habit of sticking phobia at the end of a word and using it as a substitute for rational argument. Phobia now just means disagreement. Personally, I think we also have to admit that we always are prejudiced. We always are blind. There's always something in our eye. We can't change ourselves. So we have to take the opposite of anger as often as we can. And the opposite of anger is quite simply not being angry.